In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. I always like to look at all the readings possible when I'm preparing the sermon, and lately we've had several options. And one of the options is a selection from Proverbs, and Proverbs 9, 5 to 6 reads, "Come eat of my bread and drink the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight." Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. I love those lines. But what does it mean to walk in the way of insight? A number of years ago, my husband and I were planning on attending a family wedding in Canada. My three sisters would be coming to southeastern Michigan, and it would be the first time in many, many years when the four of us would be all together again. The father of the bride was a cousin whom we had played with often as children, and it seemed important to him that we not only come to the wedding, but that we stay on the next day to attend a party for friends and relatives at his home. I hadn't really planned on spending the night in Canada, figuring I'd go and come back and save some money, but since my cousin had called and personally invited us, I said, sure, we'll be there. All of my sisters also accepted the invitation, all except one. The particular sister who said no, who has always been pretty easy to offend, decided she would not go to the wedding because the last time she attended a wedding in Canada at this particular reception hall, they had served a lot of fish and clams and she didn't like the food. My cousin personally called and asked her to come, and I offered to pay for her motel room just in case that was the real reason, but she said no. As it turned out, we didn't have fish and the food was terrific. But as another of my sisters commented, it hardly mattered because who goes to a wedding for the food anyway? Live and walk in the way of insight. Jesus invites the Jews to a banquet in which they will feed on his flesh and drink his blood. It doesn't sound very appetizing, does it? It didn't to the Jews either. In fact, it was downright offensive to them. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They protested. Whatever Christians might mean by eating the Lord's flesh and thereby receive life, to the Jews, it was incomprehensible. And even more horrifying than eating flesh was the notion of drinking the blood of the Son of Man. In Jewish teaching, blood was always equated with life, and all life belonged to God. Dietary laws forbid consuming blood under any circumstances. Animals slaughtered for food had to be bled first. Violation of these laws meant being cut off from the community. Therefore, to speak of drinking human blood, even symbolically, was too terrible for them to contemplate. If we took the passage literally, it would be too terrible for us to contemplate as well. We are not, after all, cannibals. And so we don't interpret the message, the passage, literally. But even symbolically, it's not easy to comprehend. The only way I can explain it is through relationship. Have you ever loved someone, maybe your parents, your spouse, your children, your siblings, a friend? You love them so much that consciously or unconsciously, you tried to be like them. Maybe you dressed like them, talked like them, acted like them. Those around you might even have teased you about it. But you did this because you loved them so much and wanted them to a degree to live in you. If this goes on for very long, psychologists warn us that we can lose who we are by trying too hard to become someone else. But generally, when we love someone, we will do a lot of things to keep them around us. One of my favorite television commercials is a commercial for peanut butter. A dad and his young daughter are sitting on the couch and the father is preparing peanut butter sandwiches for them. He spreads peanut butter over two slices of bread and he hands one to his daughter and he picks up the other one for himself. He then folds his sandwich in two. The daughter asks him, why, not in two, but over, and the daughter asks him why he folds his slice of bread like he does. I don't know, the father replies. I guess it's because that's what my father did and I wanted to be like him. That's silly, the little girl replies. And then she turns her back to him so that he can't see her fold her sandwich. the way her dad does. One of the things my sisters and I and our husbands did when we were in Michigan was visit the bar and restaurant that used to be my father's. It's now called Nemo's. And at one time, it was considered by Sports Illustrated the second best sports bar in the country. Pretty good for Detroit, don't you think? Well, when we walked into the bar, it was like we had stepped back in time. The bar looked the same. The walls and ceiling were the same. The bathrooms were the same. Outside, the street pavement was still brick. It's in Carytown. You've probably driven over in Carytown in Detroit. Well, we shared memories while we were there, and before we left, my husband and I each purchased a Nemo's t-shirt. Now, there's nothing extraordinary about this t-shirt, and as a priest, I really don't have much opportunity to wear t-shirts advertising bars. So why did I buy it? You know the answer, of course. It's a reminder of a person who was very special to me. It was like having a piece of my father inside or outside of me. When I go out for a special evening, I often wear a dress watch. It's very old, and I don't wear it very often. The face is so small, so tiny, it's hard for me to see the dial without my glasses, so it's not very practical. But it is a pretty watch with small diamonds around the case. Even so, there are prettier. Yet this watch is special to me because it was the watch my father gave my mother. And when I wear it, or when I periodically take it out from my jewelry box, I feel that love of my father for my mother, and their love stays inside of me. One time as a child, I remember coming home to our apartment in Detroit with my mother and finding that we had been robbed. The thieves had stolen all of my mother's jewelry, among other things, except the watch, because it had been on my mother's wrist. "I am so glad they didn't get this watch," my mother told me. "Your daddy gave it to me. And someday one of my daughters is going to have this watch." I'm sure that you all have treasures that are treasures not because they're valuable to anyone else, but because they are valuable to you because of the relationship they represent. A lot of symbols are sentimental, tied to great memories. But they mean more than just those memories. They are ways to keep the love, the commitment, those relationships alive. The gospel for today, as confusing and redundant as it sounds, since we've been hearing the Bread of Life story for several weeks now, is Jesus' way of telling us how to keep the relationship with him alive. When we gather in his name, say the words he said over the bread and wine, they are transformed somehow into his body and blood, and he will live in us. That's what we say. That's what we believe. According to this gospel, Jesus wants us to be in relationship with him and to live in this relationship in a special way. The way to sustain the belief and relationship in him is to be constantly taking into us his body and blood with all the reverence and faith and honor we would give our most prized relationship. Jesus says that to be in relationship with him is to live forever. It's so easy for most of us today to get a meal. We don't even have to prepare it or shop much for it. All we have to do is stop at a fast food place. But things are different when we are invited to a banquet. We might not have to prepare the food, but we prepare ourselves. Sometimes we might even buy special clothing to wear. A banquet is an event, an important event. Diane Bergent in the magazine America writes, "When you are invited to a banquet, you seldom ask about the menu. If it is a genuine banquet, you expect that the food will be prepared by experts and it will be of high quality. Besides, the point is not the quality of food served, but the significance of the event, the host, and any honored guests. Wisdom spreads out a banquet to which we are all invited. The meat and wine she offers is insight and understanding, and we would be fools to turn down her invitation." Jesus, too, spreads a banquet before us. He offers himself, his flesh, for the life of the world. If we turned down his invitation, we would be more than fools. We would be rejecting life itself. In a small way, I understand this. People I have loved live on in me long after their absence or even their death. We surround ourselves with symbols of those we have loved or who have loved us. It is our way of keeping them alive. In the Eucharist, we receive the bread and wine for the same reason. It is a way of keeping Jesus alive in us and us alive in him. It's simple, it's complex, but it is the way we are told that we abide with the one we love. It's more than just a memory. It's a way to keep the love and us alive. Amen.